Mr. Shaw, Reel 13. We're talking about the time when you were based at Sasebo on HMS Newcastle, and you were a fourth-class ERA, about to become C-ERA.
Well, by this time, I was a chief ERA. I'd been promoted back to chief ERA in the March, I think, or May, long before we got to Sasebo.
Now, what exactly was the routine of your trips to patrol, off Korea, or North Korea?
Well, we were looking for enemy ships, and we didn't see any, luckily. And then part of the routine was to bombard gun positions. And that was about it, mainly. And we'd be at sea.
Do you remember much about it? I mean, would you see much of what went on, or would it just be routine for you below decks?
Just routine. You know the guns were firing, that was it, you see. We did have one occasion when they tried something, one patrol, when they tried something different, when one of the American battleships came round on our coast, and they were going to bombard. But they used us as a sighter. We were sort of in the middle, and they were going to fire over the top of us. this didn't go on for very long, thank goodness, because we were always a bit worried in case they misplonked and blew us up. But anyway, this happened on one occasion. But apart from the fact that we were at sea for all these patrols and there was nothing much to do except go on watch and come off watch and et cetera, et cetera.
Were you ever attacked from the air or anything
in
any other way?
No, not once. No submarines or anything like that. So
had the ship's routine changed at all, or your job as CERO changed?
Well, as it happened, When I started off on the Newcastle, I told you, I went on there as an ERA, and then by the time March came round, before we even went to sea, I was back as a chief ERA. Now, there were 5 chief ERAs, I think, on board. I think it was 5. Anyway, the senior chief ERA, when we got to Singapore, he'd had a lot of ear trouble when he was younger. Mastoids. And this cropped up again when we were in Singapore. And he was due to finish his time fairly soon anyway, so they sent him home. See? So the next senior chap took over. After we'd done our first patrol in November, he got a job as the assistant manager of the Fleet Club in Hong Kong. Don't ask me how he got it, but he did. And much to my surprise, I was called down to the senior engineer's office and was told that as my previous seniority in the Navy counted, I didn't know it did actually, and I was the next, so I was the president of the mess then, you see. So I organised all the watch, I was organising all the watches, who went on watch. You with me? I'd be writing the list out and all this sort of business.
So you were the senior chief engineer.
For most of the time then, this is from November onwards, you see. So, that was that.
Anything else it involved other than setting up the watch rotors?
Nothing much really. If it was captain's rounds every week, you were the one who sort of saluted the captain, invited him in and let him have a look round and so forth and so on. Or if they had divisions, on a Sunday, I'd be the one in charge and doing all the shouting and bawling. Not that I did much of that, but anyway. and that was about it. But after the Korean War finished,
Were you pleased when it finished?
Oh, yes, because you could never be sure. We'd been lucky up until so far. You couldn't be too sure that your luck was going to hold. But, we were all quite pleased it finished. And we went to Hong Kong a couple of times.
What do you remember of that?
Yeah, it's quite good. A marvellous place, I would say, for women to go shopping. Wonderful lights everywhere, and all in Chinese, and what a wonderful place. But very, in the summer, very steamy, hot, sticky. And Singapore, we went to Singapore, we had a bit of a refit in Singapore. While the ship was in dock, we went into the barracks there, which was the HMS Terror. That's it, Terror. And that was really humid. Where you can, all the time in Singapore, you couldn't get dry. You have a shower, dry yourself off with a towel, but you weren't. You didn't get dry. But oddly enough, at this particular time, I could play cricket or football. I was better at football than cricket, but I could play cricket. And for some reason or other, I got into the ship's first 11 cricket team. And I played one game only, and I thought to myself, I'm not going to play football and cricket, not in this temperature. So I plumped for football, because football, they only used to play 35... They didn't play three quarters of an hour each way. They'd play 35 minutes each way, and you were finished. The cricket match, you could be out there all day, you know. And so I plumped for football, and when the match was finished, we just used to all take our boots off and just go in under the shower and gradually take your stuff off and wash it under the shower and towel yourself off. But you still, as I say, you never got dry. So I stuck to the football even in Singapore. Not that we played too often, but we had quite a few games. And of course, when the Korean War was over, we weren't doing anything special. We called in at a couple of places in Japan. Kobe, we called in there.
This is after the refit at Singapore?
Yeah, that's it. And after the war, after the Korean War was finished, or the armistice. Well, it's not finished legally yet, is it? But you know what I mean. The armistice was signed. And so I enjoyed that, really, despite the fact we were away. We'd been away. We got home eventually.
How did you get on with the Japanese? Because you'd been based at
Sasebo,
yes.
Well, all right. I didn't go ashore much anyway. But they all seemed to be fairly pleasant, from what you could.
There was no hangover from the war.
Well, not that we could see. Whether there was, I don't know. But you couldn't, from their expression, you couldn't tell. They seem to be all right now. Of course, that was, what, 1952-3? Yeah, it was, of course, 8 years afterwards, wasn't it? Which is, anyway.
How did you cope with the heat out there? Because the Newcastle wasn't a new ship, was it?
No. Well, it was
1930s,
you just had to put up with it. But another thing was that in the winter, when we're doing these patrols, the sea was actually frozen. Seawater frozen up off Korea. I've got pictures I could have shown you where you could see the ice flows on the water, and it was absolutely freezing. It was from one extreme to the other. And in the summer, midsummer, it was terribly hot, sticky. But, you just put up with it. That was it. That was it. Well, nothing much else you could do, was there?
And how long were you out there with the
ship? Well, we left to come back. I think it was either the end of April or May 1954. We got in June.
54.
Yeah. We came across, called in at Hawaii, and then through the Panama Canal, called in at Jamaica, and and then back home. And when we got home, it was bucketing down with rain. We anchored outside Port Harbour, and it was back in their moraine, and it was one of the worst Junes they've had weather-wise for ages. It seemed to rain and rain and rain and rain forever.
You got back in June.
That's right, yeah. And we all left the ship shortly afterwards. You know, we went along, so we left, all went into barracks and, all, and then away to our, on leave first, of course, got some leave to come, and then different jobs again.
What was your next job?
Next job, I was on the staff of the Rear Admiral Portsmouth, and there were three chief boilermakers on his staff, and I was the junior. So there were three, and you each had them, you each allocated them different the shore establishments were involved, and also once again the smaller ships, the tugs and small frigates that were in Portsmouth, and
you were inspecting the boilers again.
That's right, yeah, that was the job there, and I was on that job. Of course I could go home every day then, you see. I was there for about 2 years, just over 2 years, yeah, 1954-56. Then I joined the bulwark. Now we go from the sublime to the ridiculous now. The Newcastle, I would say, was probably, I enjoyed, despite the fact I was away, that was a ship I liked best of all. And the Bulwark was a ship I detested most of all.
Now, when did you join her?
Bulwark, 1956. Yeah, 1956. Now, what month was it? When was the Suez business?
So, 1956 will do fine. So, you joined her. Where was she when you joined her?
In Portsmouth.
And what happened? I mean, why didn't you like the Bulwark?
Because of the terrific din all the time, the aircraft, and also the general noise on the ship was terrible. I'll give you an example in a minute. Terrible noise, but you got used to it eventually. You know, the air fans and everything and ventilators and the terrific din. And everything was laid on for the air crews. They were number one priority, way and above everybody else, you see. And they were practicing this all the time. And then when we first left in Portsmouth, we went to the Scilly Isles. We were supposed to be going to do a cruise. Now, what month was this? I've forgotten now. It was in the summer. And a few of us had just gone ashore, and I think they'd organised a dance, a ship's dance or something. And halfway through, officer of patrol came in, everybody back on board. And I thought he's pulling our legs. I said, get out of here. I'm serious. I said, well, what's the matter? He said, I don't know. I said, we've got to go back to Portsmouth. And this was the Suez business that erupted. We had to go back to Portsmouth to rearm, you know, supplies, etc., etc., etc. And then away we went out to Suez. So I thought, I don't believe this. I said, the First World War, Korea, and now the Suez business. I thought, what have I done to deserve? Anyway, we got involved in the Suez business. But
in what way?
Well, we were out there, planes flying off, you see. But it didn't last very long, as you know. It only lasted a couple of days, I think, luckily for us. So that was that. But the bit I was going to tell you about this noise business, during the time, I don't know whether it was just before we went to Suez or after Suez was finished, we went into dry dock in Gibraltar just for a couple of days. I don't know what it was we had to have done, but we had to, can't remember now. And they had to shut all the machinery down. And none of us slept a wink that night. Couldn't sleep, because we're so used to all this terrible noise going on. And to this day, I can only remember the names of 1, 2, 3 of the ERAs on that ship, and there were dozens of them. So, I mean, this is the proof of the problem. I didn't want to know. I mean, you don't realise it at the time. Blanked off. And
was it an unhappy ship?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really know. I was unhappy, but whether the rest of them were, I don't know. So it didn't appear to be. It appeared to be just... It was probably me. It was just one of the... It was probably the contrast between... The huge contrast. Anyway, I managed to survive all right until... I left that in November 1957. And I'm not too sure about this part of it, but I think it was because round about then an Admiralty Fleet order came around saying that anybody, including chief ERAs, ERAs and whatnot, so forth and so on, could leave the Navy prematurely. I can't think of what the limit was, whether it was 3, 4 or 5 years, but they would still get paid their full pension as though they'd done the full whack. And so I volunteered for that then.
And that was...
So I came out 3 years before I normally would have done.
And that, what month was that? November 57?
That was in... that. By this time, it was 1958. And that was only... to this day, I think, had it not been the fact that it was the bulwark, I probably wouldn't have done that. But that what was that? That finished me off.
So you came out again...
That was it, finished.
Oh, and what civilian career did you do?
I went in the civil service eventually, and now this was something where I took a chance that went wrong, really. My best subject, far and away, when I was at school was maths, you see, mathematics. I was quite good at that. So when I passed the civil service exam and they gave you a list of what departments to go into, and I looked at this list and I thought, now what's the one that's most likely to have something to do with mathematics? And I thought, Inland Revenue. I made a fatal mistake there. So anyway, I volunteered for that and got it, so I stayed in that until...
Why didn't you like it?
Well, because it had nothing to do with... arithmetic, really. Well, very little. And it was all a lot of chasing bits of paper around all over, all this sort of business. And it just wasn't me. You know. I mean, you take a chance and hope for the best, and that's it.
Now, did you have any after effects of your wartime experiences? Did you have any after effects from your wartime experiences, you know, being sunk, either mental or physical? I mean, you know, that bothered you after the war.
Well, I don't think anything really bothered me. I made my mind up when I rejoined the Navy that I was never going to take anything too seriously. And I didn't. I made my mind up. I thought, everything must be a bonus after going through 6 years of the war, you know what I mean? And I thought, no, I'm going to treat everything lightly, and I did. You know, I used to try to make a joke of things. For instance, I'll give you an example on the Newcastle. When I was the boiler rooms was always my department, even when I was the senior. But they always had an officer as well in charge, you see. So, I would go into the engineer's office, and this chap, if it hadn't been for the fact he was so serious, I might not have did what I did. And he'd say to me, what's the situation, how's the... he'd ask me a question about a certain valve or steam pipe or something in the boiler room, you see. And there'd be 3 or 4 of the others, including the senior engineer, And I said, well, the last I knew, I said, they were winning 3-0 at half time. I said, and I come out with a complete load of rubbish, you know, nothing. And of course, he used to grab his hat and gloves and walk out of the office. And the others didn't know whether to laugh or cry. And so this was it. But nevertheless, despite all that nonsense, I got things done. So that's all I was worried about.
Now, what naval associations are you a member of now? Because you're in the Calder Association, aren't you? In the Captain's Class Association, eh? Are you in any others?
Newcastle, you're talking about reunions. I've been to the Calder, I've been to a reunion on the Newcastle, but once again there was nobody there I knew. Well, there was, I'm telling a lie, there was one person, and he lives in Canada now. So I've only been to one of theirs. The Calder, as I told you, I don't know anybody on there. I go mainly because it's handy, it's in Salisbury. And it's a nice, it's a break, you know, in the hotel. The Fiskard, now the Fiskard Association, I've been to lots of their meetings and whatnot, you see, because I know there's quite a lot of people still I know. Now, the Harvester, I don't know what, I've never heard of anything about the Harvester, or the Resolution, the old battleship, although some of the old ships have reunions. The Milne, I've not heard anything about any reunions from there. The Anson, now the Anson, they have a reunion, and they have one in Hayling Island about 3 or 4 years ago, and I'd met up with a stoker who'd been on the Anson when I was on there, but I didn't know him and he didn't know me, but we did know a couple of the other people between us. And when I went over, not really for the reunion, I said to him, I wouldn't mind if we could get into the dinner, but apparently the chap who was running it said, oh no, you can't, it's got to be one thing or the other, you can't just come to the dinner. Anyway, we went over and I didn't know anybody. The answer, I mean, there you are.
So they've not been a success for you, reunions.
So, well, apart from the Fiskard Association, I know quite a lot of people on there. So I've tried them, and I organised a reunion for my class years ago, and of course I knew all those, although we hadn't seen one another for about 50 years, but there you are. So
thank you very much.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.